Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. On this week's show, we are going to recap ADCC North American Trials, the first North American Trials that have happened. We are going to recap the Spider Korea Finals that happened in Korea. We are also going to recap Fight to Win 92 in Denver. Then we are going to do a preview of Kasai 4 Pro and Subspectrum 6 The Adults, followed by a preview of Fight to Win 93. How you doing, Emil?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm loving this cocoa that you prepared for us.
Dude, it's finally getting a little cold. Yeah. I figured I would bust out the cocoa.
It's good fall sipping.
I got some Halloween marshmallows. I'm like, I'm going to use those too.
There you go, man.
So yeah. It's been good. How's your week been, Emil?
Great. Absolutely great.
Awesome. So before all that, let's get into a little bit of news. Emil, what do you got?
So both Nikki Ryan and Frank Rosenthal were out of ADCC trials when they were supposed to be actually in the same division.
They were in that murderous division with fucking everyone in it.
Yeah, so the division was fine without them. There's still a ton of talent, but it was still surprising to see. I'm not sure. I haven't read anything about specifically why either of them were out.
I read something. I'm not sure where I read it. It might have been Reddit, that Nikki was out with staff. That's what I've heard.
I did see staff. I also saw someone saying that there might have been an injury, like a leg injury as well. But people are just speculating.
So we're speculating right at leg speed. But both of them were not at the event, which was, for me, disappointing because both those guys were guys that had a very real chance of taking that qualifier bracket. Nikki was the youngest competitor in ADCC 2017. So, you know, I could very easily see him getting that bracket invitation or winning a trials to make it into the 2019 event.
Yeah, but I do know that Frank Rosenthal today, Sunday, posted on his Instagram that he is going to be competing at Kasai Pro 4 next weekend.
So that's only a couple days away. It's only 6 days away when we're recording the show now. So he's probably not injured. He probably just had something else come up. Do you think it's one of the gym things where it's like the gym decided, no, you guys are at the same gym, you can't be in the same event?
I doubt it because the qualifiers are open. Like, anyone can jump in. And I did hear that there was some weirdness at the EBI Invitational because in that case, there's only one slot and they probably want to give it to, like, you know, the more established senior student. But in this case, anyone can jump in.
And this is like an open tournament. You don't think there's an issue there with like a conflict of,
yeah, I doubt
the
it.
Gym not letting guys do that? Because I know that Henzo's, that gym has done that for other events before.
I think it just happened that one time at the EBI with Calisign. Incidentally,
Did it happen at one of the Kasais too? No.
Okay, I don't think so. I think it was just the EBI, and I did read something on Instagram that sounded like Calisign isn't training with the Danaher Death Squad anymore.
Okay, so is he at Henzo still, you think, or is it?
I don't
gym?
Think so. It sounds like, and I think he was listed under a different gym.
Oh, I'll go look at that when you go through the trials here in a minute.
Yeah, I think he was.
Interesting.
So, yeah, no longer there.
Okay, so in other news, we also had Mick Maynard, the matchmaker for the UFC, received his black belt.
Oh, shit.
That's sweet. Exciting.
Good for him.
It's always fun to watch guys that are like a little more behind the scenes getting promoted. So we always like to touch on that when either a big competitor receives a black belt or like a famous guy receives a black belt. And this is one of those. So what else do you got for news, Emil? Anything else?
That's it.
There's been a ton of ADCC news around, but we're going to kind of recap all of that when we get to the trials recap.
Which are going to be awesome. Can't wait to get into it.
Awesome. So let's do it. Let's get into it. Hold up. Two more things. I forgot. So, in other news, I lost our website.
Yeah, how'd you manage to do that, man?
I have no idea.
How does one lose a website?
I have the domain still. I own the domain still. It's still apparently listed somewhere, but the website doesn't go anywhere.
Nice.
So you go to Google and Google goes, I don't know what you're looking for. So I spent about 3 hours trying to figure out what happened, but hopefully that will get taken care of by the time this episode is up. If not, you will find a blank page when you look at the grapplingrewind.com.
Excellent.
The email still works for the website. Like, right. You know, you can still do Emil@grapplingrewind.com. You can still do main@grapplingrewind.com, info@grapplingrewind.com. It all goes to the right mailboxes, so it's there. I just can't find the fucking website.
Well done, man.
So welcome to a year of us doing this show and the back-end stuff that I deal with on a daily basis. In other news, I'm going to be going up to 10th Planet Bethlehem. It'll have happened by the time this episode comes out. Black Belt CBD is doing a really cool thing. They're doing like a world tour. Or like a United States tour with a bunch of their champions from the Black Belt CBD Invitational. And one of the events they're hosting is in 10th Planet Bethlehem, so I'm going to go up to that, see that. Next week, I'm going to talk about that on the show. Seems like a really cool event. I'm off this Monday, so I'm super excited to go do that.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, please bring some knowledge back. Those guys are fucking brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it'd be awesome. So that's all I got. Now into ADCC Trials. So on to our recap of the 2018 ADCC North American Trials, the first North American Trials. They do an East Coast trial and they do a West Coast trial. This is the East Coast trial. The winner of this event gets a bye, gets a spot in the 2019 ADCC event, which is going to be in California this year, or in 2019. I think it's in Long Beach or something.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's the first time it's been in America in a couple years, so it's really exciting. We saw some outstanding jiu-jitsu, and we saw a huge loaded bracket. Emil, how do you even want to start going through all of this?
Well, we should read off the winners, I think, and then go into the rules, and then maybe start going from there.
Okay, I think that's a good way to do it. So starting us off in the 66-kilogram division, the champion.
So that's 145 pounds. The champion is Ethan Krellenston, who is a fucking beast. He trains at a TriStar gym and also trains down at Henzo's as well.
So I've been calling him Ethan Krellenstein forever now. And I looked at his name. I was like, oh, there's no I there at the end.
Yeah.
So it's
Krellenstein. So
Krellenstein.
He won, I think, ADCC West Coast Trials in 2017. He's a fucking monster. So ADCC.
Yeah, you had him. So Emil wrote a really cool article that we're going to try to get out soon. Preview for Kasai 4. And in that article, you have him listed as a dark horse, like,
yeah,
got to win it.
I think he's someone to keep an eye on for sure. You know, the two obvious ones are in Kasai Pro 4.
Yeah, switching gears here from ADCC quickly to talking about what we're going to see Ethan on next, which is next this weekend in Kasai 4 Pro. He's in that 8-man 145-pound tournament, and we're going to see him.
Yep. So getting back to ADCC trials, we have the second place being Keith Kerkorian, who's a fucking monster in his own right.
Apparently, this is the only match in 2018 he's lost.
Yeah.
In, like, I think 70-something matches, and this is his only loss he's taken in 2018.
It was by points, and I want to say both Ethan and Keith went their entire run in the ADCC trial subbing everybody up until the finals. That's fucking monstrous.
I think, dude, they had the biggest bracket. They had, I think they had a couple guys drop out. That bracket was initially 76 people. Have you ever looked up a 76-person single elimination bracket?
Yeah, it's at least, I think even the buys have five rounds.
Something like that. I think five or six rounds. It's ludicrous.
But they subbed everybody, and then they both looked so relaxed and calm in the finals. Like,
so here's my, this thing, not to cut you off here, really interesting is, I wonder if your ability to sub guys quick, because these guys both get really good at that, if it makes you, in the later rounds, you're more fresh.
Maybe.
You're ready
know.
To go, because the guys that have to go the full, so ADCC rules for the preliminary rounds, it's 6 minutes, 3 minutes no points, 3 minutes points. So if you can get a guy out of there in under 6 minutes, you're more fresh for your next round. So both these guys, having subbed everyone through their brackets, might have been more fresh going to the finals. Dude, Ethan looked amazing in this match.
So we'll continue on through here, and then we'll get a little bit more into the matches. But third place, we have Sal Guerrero, and we have also Ty Rotolo in fourth. In the 77-kilogram bracket, we have champion John Satava. Second place, Jason Rao.
We've seen Jason a ton of places. We've seen him in, like, Rise and a bunch of other tournaments, and he's been a really active competitor in 2018.
He's been a beast. And third place is Dustin Akbari, who we've seen plenty as well.
Yeah.
We have in the 88-kilogram first place Alec Balding, runner-up second place Dan Martinez, third place Roberto Jimenez, and in the 99-kilogram we have Tim Spriggs taking number one. Number two is Mario Gonzalez. Number three is Nicholas Albin.
Yeah, number one stunner takes number one.
That's right.
That's kind of funny. So under the plus 99-kilogram division,
Tex Johnson out of Unity takes first place. Second place is Hudson Taylor. Third place is Nick Rodriguez.
Big dudes. So that's all of them. Now we'll take a look at basically who's in. Before we go through and do some match breakdowns on this, because there's so many matches to talk about for this trials event, let's go through and look at who is in each division at this point. Because basically now we've had the European trials, we've had the first North American trials, and then you have your returning champion for ADCC. So what do our brackets look like?
So 66 kilograms or 145 pounds. The 2017 champion is Cobrinha. The first place European trials winner is Zaur Akhmedov from
Russia.
Yeah,
good luck with the names. That's on you.
First place, obviously, is Ethan in the U.S. so far is Ethan Krellenston. In the North American East Coast trials, 77 kilograms, 170 pounds. 2017 champion is JT Torres.
We just saw him a couple weeks ago at Philly.
Yep.
He looked really good versus Dylan Royce. So it would be exciting to see him again in this.
I have a feeling he's going to run it again. So first place European trials is Ross Nichols from the UK. And we have John Satava from the North American trials. 88 kilograms. I think it's around 194, 195 pounds. 2017 champion is Gordon Ryan. First place European trials winner is Adam Wardzinski. And Alec Balding takes North American trials.
So it was, sorry, not to cut you off here. No. It was really funny to see the Instagram post. I'm like, oh, I got other guys like Gordon Ryan, like, oh, why aren't you on the trials? Why aren't you doing it? Are you scared? And he goes, you idiots. I'm the current champion. I can't do the trials. Like, they won't let me do the trials because I already have a bid into ADCC.
We have a training partner who was like, yo, I don't recognize any of these names. I just don't understand why the big names are in the trials. And I was like, yeah, it's because they all have invites already, man. Like,
because it's like, why isn't Buchecha competing? It's like, A, he's Brazilian.
Yep.
And B, he won.
Yeah.
So it's just really funny. Every time we see a major event like this that has like an inviter, there's always all these questions about why certain people aren't there. And it's always great when you get that question about current champions. Like, why isn't the champion there? It's like, because he doesn't have to be.
ADCC champions get an automatic bid into the next ADCC.
Yes, into the next ADCC.
So the 99 kilogram, we have the 2017 champion is Yuri Samoas. First European trials winner is Perttu Teppönen from Finland. And we have Tim Spriggs being the North American East Coast trials winner. And finally, we have the plus 99 kilograms.
The big boys.
We got 2017 champion Buchecha. First place European trials winner, Eldar Rafagaev from Moldova. And then we have Tex Johnson taking the North American trials. So.
Yeah. So the women's events are really funny for this because we have the returning female champions from ADCC 2017. But the only, I think this, the West Coast trials or it's the second North American, only the second North American trials have a female division, which is always been kind of weird for me. But I think those brackets are smaller, which is why.
Yeah, exactly. I think
the female
just
brackets are smaller, yep. And so they only do them for the West Coast trials, which is kind of weird to me because the United States is – or the North America is kind of fucking big. So to put them only in the West Coast is like you're kind of – geographically, it's a little shitty.
Yep.
But so that's exciting. So where do you want to start with this? There's any standout matches you want to start with? Because, again, if you haven't seen this, Flow Arena has actually – it's the best I've ever seen Flow Arena run. Basically, Flow Arena is like a subset of Flow
Grappling.
Yeah, it's Flow Grappling. I think Flow Wrestling uses it as well. And you can click and look at every single video for every single match in any single leg of the bracket.
And the way that they lay it out is they have the brackets already filled in with the results, and then all you have to do is click on the names for any given match, which is really awesome. So
it actually works this time, because this is the first time I've actually seen it work, because previously they used it for WSOG a little bit ago, and you'd click on a match, and it'd be have like a two-second clip video of the match, and it's like, cool, like I can't see anything. So it actually works for the trials. Very excited. All the matches are up. It works. So where do I start, Emil?
Let's start with the 145 pounders. We'll go on the quarterfinal results and onward, and then
okay, let's do it that way. So kicking off the quarterfinals with the 145 pounders, we had
Sal Guerrero defeating John Kallstein by decision. We had Keith Kerkorian defeating Junior Ocasio by heel hook.
Dude, this was a really fucking good match.
Yeah, it was incredible. So Junior Ocasio had a really nice leg triangle and was attacking a heel hook, and Keith Kerkorian looked so calm, like completely nonplussed.
They both looked really fucking calm here, like kind of scary calm. They just were both super aware in the position and just like going through the motions.
So Keith was clearly like, all right, my leg's not in danger, waited probably a minute and a half, and then really adeptly swam. He pummeled his foot in to get his own positioning, and then got the heel hook off of that. So
the camera angle for this is really, really great too, because you can see Junie waits a while before he actually — have a GIF I made of this — and Keith has Junie's heel and just turning and turning. You're like, oh shit, he's gonna try to get out, and he's trying to open the legs. And the commentary staff does a really good job in this match of talking about exactly what Ocasio needs to do, and he's trying to do it before Kerkorian can get the sub on him. So that was a fun match. Go back and watch the match again. Quick match. I think like it looks like 230, 225 finish.
So the next match for the quarterfinals, Ethan Krellenstein defeating Zach Green by rear naked choke. The final of the quarterfinals was Ty Rotolo defeating Adam Benavon by ref's decision.
Yeah.
So in the semifinals, Keith Kerkorian defeats Salvatore Guerrero by heel hook. And this was a fucking awesome match, too. So there's three matches where this ending occurs. So basically, Salvatore starts trying. He's clearly frustrated and starts trying to do jumping passes over Keith's guard because Keith has just an incredible.
All the 10th Planet guys are super flexible and just they'll float you or they'll get under. Again, Keith is a dude that really wants to either get on your back or get underneath you.
So in this case, he gets underneath them. So Salvatore overcommits to one of these pressure passes and Keith just kind of bumps him over and then is able to invert and get into. To a leg entanglement and finishes with a heel hook. So in the next semifinals match, Ethan Krellenstein defeats Ty Rotolo by knee bar. And again, this is the second time this happens. Ty is pressure passing and overcommits. And Ethan, exactly
that
the
happened same. A bunch in this, Brad. We saw this not even in the quarterfinals. We saw this earlier in the day as well. Like guys would caught a pressure pass and people would almost roll underneath and then yep. start to take the legs out from that pressure passing position.
All you need to do is just give them a bump, and if you get them to put their hands on the mat even for a second, the person underneath is inverting and going into a leg attack.
Yeah,
in this case,
these lower divisions, we see so much of that. Even in the higher divisions, we saw that like once or twice.
Yep. So in this case, Ethan gets a really nice entanglement and does a really nice switch from a heel hook to a knee bar for the finish. In the finals, again, both Ethan Krellenstein and Keith Kerkorian subbed their way to the finals. These guys are fucking both amazing. Can't wait to watch more of them. And
Krellenstein looked outstanding in this match. Keith's defense here for the rear naked chokes and for the back mount was outstanding. He made Krellenstein have to take the body triangle when he couldn't get the hooks. So quick thing, let's talk about the ADCC rules really quick because they have a really funny point system that I was watching this and I had to actually go through and look at the rules to go, okay, wait, why is he only getting this amount of points for this move or this position? So they have a really funny point system.
Good point. So passing the guard is 3 points.
That's standard.
Yep. Neon belly is 2 points.
Standard.
Mount is only 2 points.
Not standard. We're in Naga rules at this point.
Back mount is 3 points. So takedowns are 2 points. A takedown into like a into side control or something like that.
They call it a clean takedown,
that's
basically.
4 points. So that's instead of it being 2 points for the takedown and 3 points for the guard pass, you only get the 4 points.
Well, also like if you take someone down in a normal like IBJJF tournament, if you take someone down into side control, you get no points versus if you take them down into their guard.
Right.
Like, it's just a takedown.
Right.
But I like that ADCC rewards, like, takedown in a dominant position. They call it a clean takedown, but it's a takedown into dominant position. They don't give you, like, passing points, but they give you additional points for, like, a better takedown. I think
right.
Sambo does this as well, where it's like you get, or Judo does this too, like, you get more points for a better takedown.
So there's sweep is 2 points. The clean sweep, which would be sweeping into side control or something like that, is 4 points. And the interesting format to ADCC is that they don't do traditional penalties where if you rack up 3 penalties, you're DQ'd or anything like that, or, you know, as a tiebreaker.
I think they will DQ. I don't remember the actual what the rules for DQing are.
Here's what they do. They take points away for certain things.
Negative
so
points.
They actually will remove points. So if you start accruing them.
I call these fuck you points.
Yeah, it's fuck you points. It's not a tiebreaker or anything like that. They just start taking points away. So,
it's like, oh, cool, you guys are 4-4, but you stalled twice. Cool, you're now 4-2.
So
you lost.
You get negative points if you voluntarily jump guard or you sit down when you're both standing. If a fighter disengages and breaks contact to back up and just does not remain and avoids engaging, that's a -1 point. A passive fighter will be warned twice and then given a -1 point.
For passivity, basically.
That's right. And even if you are passive during the no points portion of the section.
Oh, yes. Let's explain that first. So ADCC, to basically foster. ADCC, they change the rules not infrequently, but to foster action, to foster submissions, the first half of the match, whether that's a 3-minute match or a 4-minute match, or like, I think at the actual big event, it's an 8-minute match.
So
the first half of the match.
Right. So the matches are either 6 minutes for the regular matches, the finals are 8 minutes. So the
finals also had this weird overtime rule as well.
The first half of either of those, so for a 6-minute match, the first 3 minutes, there's no points.
It's just basically a submission only match, and then whatever position you guys end up in is what position you end up in. And then after that, there are points, and there are these ADCC points system.
That's right. So even if during that no points portion of the match you start being passive, they will hit you later with the
negative points.
Yeah,
when the points start, they'll go, oh, cool, you were passive a minute ago. Enjoy your negative point, good sir.
That's right. So, really
I honestly like the – you don't get a ton of stalling matches in ADCC.
No.
Because they have that more aggressive penalty style. So that – this will explain. We'll have a match later. This will make more sense as to why this went like this. But you'll see some funny point totals in ADCC with this rule set.
All right. So just to touch on that, finals between Ethan Krellenston and Keith Kerkorian. So Ethan Krellenston does take the back. He doesn't sink the hooks, and he goes immediately to the...
Well, he doesn't go immediately to body triangle, but you see him trying to get the hooks, trying to get the hooks, trying to get the hooks, and then eventually he's like, okay, I'm losing the fucking position. Like, I got to take the body triangle to get more control here. Takes the body triangle, doesn't end up getting the points.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, interesting. Like, he had to take the body triangle, and he keeps fighting. Like, beautiful positional control here. But Kerkorian, this is where you see him use those, like, EBI rules training. That dude can get out of the back mount.
Yeah, I saw him. It was interesting. He was rolling back and forth a lot, kind of like doing like
that's
gator
usually what he
rolls.
Does. We've seen him do that in a bunch of like, because the dude does a ton of EBI style tournaments. So you see him do that a lot.
He's able to get a reversal, and so now Ethan's in guard, and Ethan actually sweeps, although they didn't give him points for the sweep, but he ends up sweeping. He's back on top, and then he gets to a really dominant leg weave, and the match ends with Ethan up on points.
Yeah, Ethan 3-0 is now the. EBI is now the ADCC North American first trials winner, gets that buy into the ADCC.
So now into the 170 pounders. This is 76.9 kilograms.
Dude, the kilos thing always confuses the shit out of me, because it's not even like an even, it's not like 76 kilo. It's like 76.4 kilos.
Exactly.
76.3. It's like, wait, what?
So, and mind you, that's a huge jump. So it goes from 145 all the way up to 170.
Yeah,
that's ADCC, a 25 pound.
ADCC doesn't mess around with the little weight classes. Like, it's their big weight classes. So I think that's also why it's so much. There was a big discussion a while back of like, what's more prestigious, an IBJJF world title or an ADCC title? And everyone was pretty much like, ADCC title, because it's less frequent, the divisions are smaller, and they have these like open events. Like, dude, you can be a white belt and go into the trials. I would not recommend it, but you can do it. We saw blue belts at the trials. Like, you can go and do it. You don't have to be a black belt. You can be just some guy. So it really is anything goes, anyone is open here. So I think it's super exciting. I like the bigger gaps in the weight as a guy that does not compete in ADCC.
Yeah, as an observer, it's fucking awesome. So in the quarterfinals, we have John Satava defeating David Garmo by rear naked choke. We have PJ Barch defeating William Tackett by points. And this was an awesome wrestling match. Go back and it was an awesome wrestling.
No, we have William Tackett defeating PJ Barch.
No, that's wrong.
That is wrong.
Yeah, so it's wrong. PJ Barch proceeds, and you'll see, I'll explain later, but PJ Barch actually pulls out in the next round.
So that's why Tackett goes on. So I'm looking at the Flow Arena, which has PJ Barch and then William Tackett in the match, and then it has William Tackett proceeding on to the semifinals, but
that's not correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Because PJ Barch pulls out, Tackett goes on in regardless of. Well,
Tackett does not proceed. They give Satava the
bye.
Forfeit. Yeah, forfeit win.
Okay.
So they just fucked up there. But basically, PJ Barch, this is an awesome match. The PJ Barch versus William Tackett match is great all around grappling. Like, both of them are really good at wrestling and good at jujitsu, and it's just awesome to see.
I think Barch wrestled collegiately. I forget where, but they were talking about it on it, or
it definitely appears like it
on something. I forget. We see Barch really frequently in the last like 2 months, so somebody was talking about he has a collegiate wrestling background, and that was evident in this match.
So great match, go back and watch it. The next quarterfinals match, Jason Rao defeats Garrett Lavaggi by inside heel hook. So this is yet another case where two overcommitting on the guard passing
the
will get
passing.
You into leg entanglement. So in this case Garrett rips off, he's like pissed off in the middle of the match, and he rips off this long sleeve rash guard and then just starts passing like a fucking maniac. And
I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, he just rips his shirt off.
We're in the fucking quarterfinals.
Which is
I've been in this shit since the fucking round is 64.
And then he gets subbed. So Then the next quarterfinals match.
Hold up. This bracket is even more hilarious because if you go in Florina, not the non sequitur at all here and cut you off, this bracket actually has a round of 128, and there are dudes that have matches in that round of 128.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Think about how crazy that is. Your bracket starts with a round of 128, and not because a lot of times you'll see brackets like this, and like everyone has a bye in that round. No, no. There are dudes that had rounds in the round of 128. And we're talking about the quarterfinals right now. So what these guys have already gone, it's a day tournament. It's not a multiple day tournament. This is a 1 day tournament. It doesn't run like all fucking day. Like you're in and out not that long.
No, yeah. It's crazy to hear the commentators being like, yep, this is match like 215 or something like that. So the next quarterfinals in the 175 pound division is Dustin Akbari defeating Kevin Burbidge by points. So incidentally, in this match, they had Kevin Burbidge must be 10th planet because he starts setting up the fly trap that you were
10th planet.
Yep, there you go. So
what's the fly trap?
It's what you were asking at
SAGC. Is that leg lock?
No, it's that you're on bottom side and you start. Was it Zach?
Yeah, Zach Edwards did. Yeah, from bottom side control, trying to bring your leg all the way around to the other side of the guy's back.
So
when you're in bottom side.
We got to see how it finishes. So. In this case,
he turned the guy over.
No, Dustin Akbari was on top, and Kevin Burbidge is on the bottom, and he starts doing that. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember seeing this, and being confused about this. And so what he does is he kind of really gradually pulls his leg up and over, and then it basically he goes into a no arm triangle, but he's doing the 10th planet finish where he's grabbing inside of his leg. And his forearm is sort of the choking.
Yeah, you're choking with the forearm surface. as opposed to the leg because you don't have the
arm.
Yeah,
there.
The arm in to do
right.
it.
So you have your own arm. Yep, yeah. Exactly. He doesn't like Dustin Akbar just pops his head out, but
theoretically that's how you would finish that. And yeah. It's cool to see something that I was confused about last week.
Yep.
Getting almost finished this week.
So in the semifinals, PJ Barch has to forfeit. It's unclear. They didn't actually say why. So Jonathan Satava proceeds off of the forfeit. Jason Rao defeats Dustin Akbari by heel hook. And in this case, it's just standing passing is also a liability. Like it's, you know, these guys are freaking, they're proficient now with leg locks.
Everyone's got it. So good. Like if you've, again, all these huge bracketed tournaments like this, if you're in the finals or even the quarterfinals, like you're a monster in every aspect because at this point in the day, you've had to go against a bunch of different guys with a bunch of different kind of styles. And if you've beaten all those guys, it means you can deal with all of those different styles. So these dudes are monsters at the end. So
unless you're in the 99 plus kilogram bracket.
All right, Emil. Why are you hating on big guys?
You know how I feel about big guys, man.
I do know how you feel about big guys.
So, the next bracket or the next division is the under 87.9 kilograms. It's 194 pounds. Another 25 pound
jump.
Yeah.
Dude,
so,
they don't mess around. Like these, it's like, cool, next division, 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Next division, 300 pounds. You're like, oh shit, we're making big weight jumps here.
So here we'll start actually with the quarterfinals because there just wasn't a whole lot of subs. Quarterfinals.
You're being with bigger guys, man.
Yeah.
You see.
This is where it starts to slow down.
You see bigger guys, you see less subs, typically.
Yep.
Not always, but like, typically you see less subs.
So in this division, from the quarterfinals onwards, there's only one submission.
Well, there's three submissions in the quarterfinals.
Sorry, I was thinking about the next division. In this case,
the big guys, Emil?
Yeah, the big guys. So in this case, we'll start with the quarterfinals. We have Hunter Colvin defeating Chris Dempsey by standing rear naked choke.
That gangster shit.
Yep. We have Dan Martinez defeating Dan Rinaldi.
Hold on. I want to go back to that first the match there. Why do you guys at the bigger weight classes always want to stand up to get out of chokes?
Because they have bad jujitsu, man.
You're in the quarterfinals of the trials. They have good jujitsu, but it's like, thing you see.
We saw
Antoine do it with Craig Jones. Like, do big guys want to stand up? The jujitsu community is small. People, this will get back to the big guys eventually, Emil. Don't shoot us in the head here. Okay, as a small man.
I'm just saying, maybe someone has less used to having people hang off your back.
You see it at the bigger weight classes way more frequently than you see it at the small weight classes. Guys stand up.
It's weird, isn't it?
To get out of chokes. Yeah,
you almost see like a lot of laying in half guard, don't you?
A little bit.
Yeah. You see a lot of pushing around.
Emil,
standing up,
did these divisions hurt you?
Yes. I'm 160 pounds. I get abused by these people all the time.
Next match.
If you can't tell, I'm pretty fucking salty.
It's very evident. I can tell, Emil.
Next match, we have Roberto Jimenez defeating Matthew Martinez by rear naked choke. This is a great fucking match. In fact, I think Flow Grappling actually has this on the this sequence on their Instagram. It's a really slick pass to back take where Jimenez goes from an over under pass. And he swings around. He can't get the over-under pass, so he swings around in the opposite direction to get to the side control. And then he does really nice head control and puts his legs behind Martinez's to get him to kind of roll over. And Martinez tries to turtle, and Jimenez just takes his back at this point and finishes
the choke.
Yep.
Yeah, really, really, really great sequence.
Just
go back and watch
great
it.
Work by a 200-pounder. So
yeah,
there is
good
jiu-jitsu.
They can do
good
jiu-jitsu, goddammit.
Some of them can.
Right, in the final match of the quarterfinals.
So we have Alec Balding. Alec Baldwin.
I every time I read his name, I want to do the same thing. So you're not alone, Emil.
Alec Balding defeats Christopher Ryan Quinn by omoplata, which is fucking crazy. So Alec Balding is awesome. Like,
he's the guy that I haven't come across of.
Exactly.
I feel like we've covered him on the show in the last year, but I don't remember the last time. Oh yeah, by the way, this is the year anniversary of the show.
Hell yeah.
I forgot. I also couldn't do math, so last week I said it was the anniversary. I went back.
It was
and
the week before.
It was the week before. So, yeah, this is actually the year anniversary of the show. You will notice this is show 52 because we missed Christmas last year. Sorry, guys. I had, like,
Christmas
to do.
Yep.
And so this is the year anniversary of the show. So I feel like we've covered Alec Balding in the last year. I just, for some reason, cannot place where we've covered him.
Actually, you know, this is my first time watching him compete. He's awesome. This quarterfinals match is great. So Alec has a double unders pass, and he forces Chris to turtle, and he goes for that kind of Kimura from the bottom position where both of your legs are going across the opponent's head and back, and then he just transitions almost to like an omoplata there, which a nogi omoplata, like, come on, dude.
No, and it's a really, really rare finishing sequence for just because guys are flexible and they can roll and you can pull the arm out without the friction of the gi. I mean, it's finishable, obviously, but you do not see it very frequently in nogi.
Yep. And then we have Dan Martinez defeating Hunter Colvin by ref decision. In the finals, we have Alec Balding defeating Dan Martinez by points.
And this was with that overtime. So this is 12 minutes in. So your finals are 8 minutes.
And then you have 1 4-minute overtime if there's a draw.
Yeah, and Alec is able to get 4 points and get the victory. Like, goddamn, I'm excited. Dude, I love these sort of trial openers because you come across guys, you're like, who is this guy? Like, who is Craig Jones?
Yep.
And so this, I think, Alec Balding is a guy to watch now.
Yep. I skipped the semifinals there too. Alec Balding defeating Roberto Jimenez by points, and this is an awesome match. It's great wrestling, takedowns, and near back takes. Dan Martinez defeating Hunter Colvin by ref's decision to get into the finals.
I thought I just missed it. I was like, apparently he said it, and I just missed it. So.
I skipped it. Nice. So now on to the under 98.9 kilograms, 220 pounds, the big, big boys.
No, these are the small
boys.
I know.
Then there's the big boys. in the 220-pound bracket, this is where there's only one submission from quarterfinals onwards.
You are correct, Emil.
So just starting from the semifinals, we have Mario Gonzalez defeating James Vincent by points.
3-0.
You have Tim Spriggs defeating Nicholas Albin by snap-down guillotine and jumping into guard, like,
super
40
quick.
Seconds in.
Dude, super quick.
Super
he
quick.
Basically just snaps him down, and then, what's it called, like a flying squirrel or something? He just basically, the guy stands up out of the guillotine, and then he just jumps around the
legs.
And you end really, really high, and you always, even if the guy's trying to bring you down low, get slammed in this.
Yep.
Like, I have a win by this. It's hilarious. You always, when the guy brings you down, you always kind of get thumped into the mat, and you kind of just go hold it, and like, all right, and he taps, and it's a really beautiful. Again, you don't see big dudes move like this a lot, so it's awesome to see it.
Yep.
So in the finals,
we have Tim Spriggs defeating Mario Gonzalez by points. Now, the biggest division, 99 kilograms and up, aka Who Wants to Get Stuck Under Orlando Sanchez, aka Tex Johnson and the Big Boys.
Dude, my buddy Billy Brown was in this. He weighed 367 pounds.
Yeah, these guys are fucking
these
huge.
Are large gentlemen, to say the least. I'm like, what do you do? Like, I've wrestled with him, I've sparred with him, I've done jiu-jitsu with him, and I'm like, what do I do to you?
So he's your boy, Billy Brown, is the first in the quarterfinals. We have Nick Rodriguez beating Billy Brown, who looks a lot like Roy Nelson. Looks like a great version of Roy Nelson.
He's a large gentleman. Yes. Yeah. Dude, I love that the big guys will always do no shirts, too.
Yep.
It's just like, goddamn, you guys are huge.
So Nick takes that by rear naked choke. Next one, we have Hudson Taylor defeating Ricky Comej by guillotine.
Hudson Taylor is a really, really good collegiate wrestler, by the way. I think he was also the coach for, I want to say, Penn State, but I could be wrong about that. Done a ton of work. Like, I think he won blue belts at Worlds List last year.
Damn. Wait. Collegiate wrestler.
Yeah, no, don't ask. Okay. Like, I'm not going to get into it.
Whatever.
Really, really good grappler. Cool to see him in ADCC.
Yeah. Well, clearly really good. He gets the guillotine there. So in the next match, we have Tex Johnson defeating Jaquan Williamson by triangle.
Real quick, too.
Yeah, real quick. And, man, Tex's guard work is fucking impressive for a big dude.
Dude, get the Unity guys, though.
Yeah.
Like, think about the guys at Unity. Like, they've got some big guys like Morello and him, but they've also got a lot of those small, really technical guys like the Meows. They've got Junie. They've got the guy with the beard that just
Eddie
got the,
Cummings.
Eddie, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, they've got a big gradation of those really competitive guys. Devontae Jones is there.
Dude,
like,
you could
technical
see
technical guard guys.
Technical guard work by Tex Johnson. Really good. Gets the triangle. There was a slam here, actually. And the slam, again, you know.
Can you slam in trials?
Evidently, because there was, Jaquan picks him up and fucking puts him down pretty violently, but it doesn't do anything. Like, kind of goes back to what we were talking about in previous Fight to Wins, where it's like, sometimes that slam just gets you deeper into the
submission. Unless you're on puzzle mats, and you're Jeff Glover, and you're being slammed by Gio.
There you go.
And then it kind of fucks you up.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Puzzle mats suck. I don't like puzzle mats. I got a vendetta against puzzle mats after seeing that.
So next in the quarterfinals, we have Andrew Tavey defeating Nicholas Kajia by rear naked choke. In the semifinals, we have Hudson Taylor defeating Nick Rodriguez by points.
5-0.
In the semifinals, we also have Tex Johnson defeating Andrew Tavey by knee bar in under 30 seconds.
Really crazy. Dude, Tex came and brought it. Like,
yeah.
He was like, I always say whenever a guy finishes in under 30 seconds, like, they got places to be.
Yep.
He had things to do.
Hell yeah.
So then we have our final match between Hudson Taylor and Tex Johnson.
Tex wins by knee bar again.
I think it was a heel hook.
Was it? Okay,
yeah,
it was a little hard.
Yeah, the angle we had in the broadcast, and the commentator said it was a heel hook.
Okay.
But the angle that we had, basically, Tex jumps guard, which is always weird to see a big guy do, and he, like, rolls, like, he's almost going to, like, take the back and go for, like, a calf slicer off there. Like let's go, and almost tries to hook the leg. Hudson gets away and starts to escape. Tex switches to what looks like a knee bar, and then we're looking at the complete opposite side of the hand positioning, so you can just see him turn the leg out, and it looks like he's either going for a knee bar or like some sort of foot attack. And the commentator goes, "Oh yeah, he's going for this heel hook here." Finishes the heel hook under 30 seconds. He is now the champion of the trials and has the bid to ADCC.
So, just outstanding event overall.
Dude.
Really fucking good jiu-jitsu.
Amazing. Go back and watch it. Even, like, there are so many matches I want to go back and rewatch. Because, again, I haven't got a chance to watch all through. Really, as a small guy, I love the 65-kilogram division. I want to go back and watch a bunch of the round of 64. Because there's some really, really cool matchups here that I didn't get a chance to see. Like, Junior Casio versus Ray DeLeon. Haven't got a chance to see it. Junior Casio versus Marvin Castell. I think I did see that match, but I didn't take any notes on it. John Battle versus Marvin Castell.
That's hilarious. Junior Casio had to go through 3 10th Planet dudes in a row.
Yeah. Dude, 10th Planet showed up for this
fucking
event.
Yeah, no. They're,
like, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of really
cool
matches.
Oh, man,
matchups.
I missed the John Battle, Marvin Castell as well. That's another one I wanted
to
watch.
It was very good. I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
It's a win by, I want to say, it was a heel hook. Heel hook win by Castell.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, it was exciting. There's so many really, really good matchups in this. So go back and watch. It's all on Flow Arena. All of the bouts link directly to the matches. And from what I've looked at, they're all good. They all start at the right time. They all end at the right time. So go back and watch it. Highly recommend it. We are starting to get into ADCC season. I'm ready, Emil.
Yeah.
My body's ready.
Me too, man.
It's like ADCC, honestly, a little kind of behind the curtain here for the show. ADCC 2017 was one of the things that kind of prompted us to do this show, is because we were trying to find, I mean, we have a bunch of guys at the gym that everyone watches ADCC. For some reason, some guys will not watch Worlds, but pretty much everyone in every gym will, like, watch ADCC, at least peripherally pay attention to ADCC. And there's no coverage for it, or there's spotty coverage, and you can find articles, and you can, but it's really hard to watch the run up to it and watch, like, unless you're super into grappling, you know where to look. And you know, I was like, I want to cover this sport because it's a really cool sport, and there's not enough coverage. Like, ADCC is such a fucking cool event.
And this is our Olympics, man. It's like,
basically, you have the trials, you come into the country trial, like, it's a regional trial.
Yep.
But, like, you come in, you get your bid for your region, then you get your invitationals, then you get your returning champions all together every 2 years for this big event. And prior to, like, and there's more coverage. And as you watch ADCC, there's more and more coverage here and there. But watching the ADCC 2017, I was like, who are all these guys? Like, I was trying to figure out who fuck Craig Jones was.
Right.
And it was, like, hard to find information on, like, you had to go back and watch old comp footage. So that's one of the big reasons that we started doing the show was, like, I want to cover this thing. Like, it's super interesting, and I want to be engaged in, like, watching the coverage of the sport. And so it doesn't exist. You got to do it.
Yep.
And so that's what kind of one of the things that prompted us to do the show. So I got a soft spot in my heart for ADCC.
The other thing about ADCC is that it's pretty much for a long time, it was the only professional jiu-jitsu event. It was the only paying one, major one for a really long time.
Oh, yeah, major
one.
There's always been, like, super fight cards. Like,
yeah,
back,
like
even
little
like
ones,
way,
but
way
like
back in the
regular
day.
And the prizes in ADCC are huge.
Oh, they're seriously. Yeah. It's actually like salary prizes where, like, you win ADCC, you can make it another year or 2 years as a grappler only having one ADCC. You can do your seminars. It's like ADCC champion really fucking means something. And, like, guys that win ADCC are, like, pro-level guys, and they've always been pro-level guys. Like, guys that win a Worlds IBJJF can't necessarily pay their bills with that World Championship. ADCC guys typically can.
Yeah.
And so it was the first, like, pro level event that paid out. Like, oh, you win ACC, there's serious money behind it. And there's the trials and all that kind of show that it's a really cool event.
Hell yeah.
So anything else to add on the ADCC trials?
Just an awesome event. Yeah. Go and watch it.
Go back and watch it. It's great. Even some good comment. I didn't catch who the commentator was for the event, but he was pretty knowledgeable. It seemed like a one-man commentary.
It did. He did a great job for only
being
one man.
There was a British commentator, I think, and there was an American commentator.
And not all of the matches have commentary because they had three mats going on. So.
Okay, I couldn't know if they had two or three mats going on. Yeah. But yeah, the commentary is good for both guys. I didn't get a chance to listen to a ton of the British gentleman talk, but the American guy was real, real good, and I enjoyed it. And so, cool. There's commentary. One-man commentary booths are super fucking hard to do, so props to those guys for doing it. So moving on to the Spider Korea Finals. This is basically the culmination of the entire Spider Korea event. They've been running this bracket for, I want to say, at least three events now, and they've narrowed it down, and this was the final event. So we had two matches. We had an under 76-kilogram division, and we had an above 76-kilogram division, and then we had a couple super fights, and then we had an absolute final between the under 76-kilogram division winner and the above 76-kilogram winner for that as well. So Spider Korea, again, another different kind of point rule set than ADCC or than any other tournament, but it's still pretty similar to the IBJJF.
Yeah.
All right, so where do you want to start with this, Emil?
First off, the stream was brutal, man. Like,
so I watched it after the fact, and when I heard that when it was broadcast live, it was fine, but the video that's up currently, it's about a 2.5-hour event. Like, nice, it's nice and short.
Yep.
2.5 to 3 hours is a really good length for, like, an event like this.
Exactly.
But the first hour and 10 minutes is totally good. You know, it's a little choppy here and there, but the audio is good. It's clear. Keenan Cornelius, really fucking good on broadcast.
Yeah, let's talk about him in a second. But the choppiness really impacted the ability to watch the rest of this.
Yeah, and it's okay till the Shane match. Shane Jamilho Taylor, and he had a super fight match on this card, and it was fine until there. And then midway through that match, it just, like, chugs and, like, basically stops. I'm watching, like, a frame every, like, 2 or 3 seconds.
Yep.
And then eventually in one of the later Paulo Miao matches, it kind of, like, fixes itself. And there's, like, but the audio is gone now, so it's completely silent.
Well, there's a moment during the Jonathan Alves and Paulo Miao match where Jonathan gets a sweep and you don't get to see it. Like, it freezes, and then all of a sudden he has 2 points and he's on top.
And you're like, oh, that was kind of important.
Yeah.
Because Meow is a very difficult gentleman to sweep. So the last hour and a half of the event is really, really choppy, and like, it'll just slow down to almost nothing and pause, and then all of a sudden it'll come back. And then it'll load, but there's no audio the last hour and a half of the event. And so it's really weird because some of the matches are almost unwatchable at that point. So take everything we say for the last half of the event with a little grain of salt, because a lot of times we're just watching big chunks of a static screen kind of waiting for something else to happen. So it is very possible, at least in my notes. I think you probably watched the exact same video I watched.
Yeah, I couldn't get much out of it, but I will say, Keenan is fucking awesome on commentary.
For the first hour where he was on the mic, him and John Evans, amazing on the mic. Keenan is the right balance of like funny and really super knowledgeable in the gi and in grappling in general.
Yeah, I love getting Keenan's perspective on which positions are defensive versus offensive. For example, he was talking about how lasso guard is pretty defensive, and that it's not a particularly offensive position. And it's just interesting to get his perspective.
But he also I forget which match it was, but he was talking about there's a certain distance when someone, I think it was in the DJ Jackson match, one of the DJ Jackson matches, when if a guy is trying to pass your guard and stands a certain distance away, it's really the only guard you can play.
Yeah.
Like, to have any amount of control that you need on that guy. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, he thinks that in this position that these guys are in right now, this is the only guard you have to play, this guard, because there's no other way you can control the guy enough to really maintain a dominant position.
And it's fascinating to see how discreet he breaks down different positions into, you know, like, you're only talking about inches of separation between, okay, I have to go from lasso guard to, you know, whatever lapel guard.
Also really funny because he didn't talk about certain stuff he was seeing because it was part of his metagame that he didn't think was public yet. And he was like, oh, he's doing something really interesting there. And you're like, tell us, Keenan.
Yeah,
and
it was the bottom pant leg grip.
Yeah.
That's what he, like, the other commentator was like, oh, yeah, can you tell me about that? He's like, nah.
Nah, it's part of, like, the metagame right now. It's like, he goes, I don't think I have any videos. We got to get Keenan online for it. He goes, no, I don't think it's on there either. Yeah. I use that right now. And once guys figure it out, I'll let him know. But right now, like, no. And it was funny. He pimped his worm guard DVD a couple times. He was like, oh, you'd know this.
But it wasn't bad. It was funny.
All in good fun, and it was all really entertaining.
Yep.
But it was just, it was nice and lighthearted, and you get, like, how much of a BJJ nerd Keenan is.
Yep.
And
we're again, BJJ nerds, so he speaks our language.
Hilarious. But, dude, and again, this just feeds into what I've said, that all these really high-level IBJJF guys make good commentators because they just have – even if they don't speak well, which I think all the guys do usually, they know so much about the jiu-jitsu. They just can talk about what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And they have this huge knowledge set, but it's like we've seen Shane is a great commentator. Keenan is a great commentator. Agarzarm is a great commentator.
He's not a champion.
But not a champion. Like high-level guys.
Got it.
Like Keenan is – did he win ADCC yet? Okay, but he's, like, always on that podium. Agazarm, always on that. Like, those guys, those top eight guys, amazing on the commentary. So it's always a treat to hear him. Keenan was on this one. It was quite hilarious. We enjoyed it.
Let's get into the results.
So we want to start. Under 76 or
under 76? Under 76. So we have Paulo Miao defeating Inseong Jang by referee decision. And this was impressive by Inseong. He was passing. There was a moment where he launches this knee cut pass and gets his knee to the mat. And, I mean, he was centimeters from getting the pass on Miao. It was almost... I mean, I'm sure it's because Paulo's fucking brilliant, but he really... It seemed almost lucky that Paulo was able to just barely clip the ankle with his foot to be able to maintain his guard. But it was so good that even Keenan was like, oh, I need to keep an eye on this guy. He's really good.
Is he a brown belt?
I think he was a black belt.
Okay, I forget who it was. Jonathan Atlas is a brown belt, and I put that in quotes there. Heavy, heavy quotes there.
Yeah. So
like, who we bullshitting?
Awesome, awesome technical match.
But Miao gets the win here.
Yep.
And then, a decision, super close
very
match
close.
All the way, and it was far more competitive than I thought it was going to be.
And the next match, we have Jonathan Alves defeating Masahiro Iwasaki by straight armbar from the omoplata position.
So, oh my God, your note is the exact same thing my note is. It's really written out in the exact same way. Because I looked at it like, oh, it's an omoplata. It's not an omoplata. He like straightens his arm out because he's stopping the roll with this.
Yes.
Basically. And so in order, so the match was great up to this point. At one point, Jonathan Alves goes for an omoplata, but never is able to really put the arm in the pocket to finish it and get his posture up. So what he does is he has the arm out, and he's controlling the head to stop the roll with his legs, and then he pulls the arm out and then straightens it. But because the shoulder is controlled by his own legs, you can't get the leverage on the shoulder to get out of the straight armbar, and you're able to finish the straight armbar.
Yep. Awesome submission.
Really cool finishing sequence. I love this finishing sequence because I disdain omoplatas. And so this isn't an omoplata victory. It is a straight arm lock victory.
So in the final, you have Jonathan Alves defeating Paulo Miao 2-0. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see exactly what sweep he used to get that 2 points.
You got a sweep, though.
Yep,
he got a sweep. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, it looked really cool. Like I tried to watch it and like click through and like maybe get it to work. Like, maybe it was a video or a streaming issue or something. But if you're having the same issue I had,
hopefully at least one other person I spoke to.
Yeah, hopefully they re-upload the video and we can see, or they part the matches out.
Yeah.
So at least we can see it there. Because I want to see, honestly, I want to go back and listen to Keenan's commentary.
Yeah.
And now that we've done commentary and I want to like get better at it, like, what's he doing? How's he talking about? First
you
got to
be a world-class competitor. And then,
okay, yeah. So I'm never going to be a commentator.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, there are things that black belts, competitive black belts can see that, yeah, I obviously cannot as a hobbyist purple belt. So
yeah.
So props to them.
Jonathan Alves wins the under 76 kilogram division and is now the Spider under 176 pound, under 176 kilogram division champion. Super exciting.
76 kilogram division champion.
Yep. What'd I say?
You said 176 kilograms.
I mean, technically he's under 176 too. Technically, if you want to get, you know, some anyway, hairs here.
In the over 76 kilogram division, we have Kenan Duarte defeating Vinicius Ferreira by 2 points.
Yeah, beautiful spider road sweep here with around 6 minutes left in the match. Textbook, like, turns him over. Like, it is just a beautiful sweep. Go back, find the time code for this match. It's about 6 minutes left in the match. Just a literally like a beautiful like highlight reel sweep here from the Spider Guard.
You have Victor Hugo demolishing DJ Jackson 16-0.
So this was a really, really competitive match until the very end.
That's kind of how it goes. I mean, like, we saw Johnny dismantle AJ Agazarm 9-0 in pans and in Nogi pans. And
he didn't last like 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is just competitors kind of willing to take risks in the last minutes. We see them kind of turn it up. But
yeah.
I've seen it a number of times where it – or maybe it's just, you know, the other person gets exhausted a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe you have a really slow match and then all of a sudden the last, like, couple minutes, like, boom, boom, boom.
It's like boom, 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 yeah.
So, yeah, 16-0. Yeah. Again, this is where I got confused for the points for Spider because they were, like, taking points, giving points, not giving points. It was like this match was particularly confusing. And in the results, it's listed as 16-0, but the match finished at 9-0. But Keane was talking about, oh, he didn't get points or he didn't get these points. And so the commentary was kind of in the middle of talking about what points were going to be awarded and were not going to be awarded. And then they kind of moved on immediately to the next match and he didn't get a chance to like finish that thought. So really cool match, really cool sequence. Back and forth from the mount, out of the mount. Great match, great passing from Hugo. This was actually a match I go back and watch. There was some really good work from both competitors here in this match. There was some really good commentary from Keenan talking about the intricacies of the grips, why DJ Jackson was successful with his body type at that size, why he plays a certain game. He talks about really good metagame information for why Jackson is so successful having that body type and what he has to do differently as a result of that. And then
and
some really...
Keenan and DJ were teammates for a while, right?
Yeah, Lloyd's place. Yeah. Yep. And he talks about when he commentates the Shane match, he talks about that as well.
Actually,
a little bit about Shane and how Shane was really young when he was there. Huh. I think he left there
at brown belt
2013. I think
it was right around when I just started training jiu-jitsu. So I started training in 2012. Yeah, it was probably 2013.
Yeah, something like that. He left there. So again, he would have seen those guys and he's trained with those guys. But it was cool to hear him talk about he has trained with those guys and knows those guys. So he had some little additional insight and information on how they train.
So in the final, Kenan Duarte defeats Victor Hugo on advantages.
Yeah, it was a 2-2 match, and then he wins with two advantages. Super, super close match. And Duarte's looked really good. We've seen him have some hiccups. I think he had some hiccups at Pans.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a fresh black belt. You know,
He's a, I think, brand new black belt is what I term him as. He's a brand new black belt. Was a killer brown belt. He's a really good competitive black belt. He just... It'll take him a little bit to get used to that, like, next level of high-level black belt competition, I think. But this event shows that he can still compete at that level and, like, is a world beater at that. Because he was in this initially at Brown.
Yeah.
I think he started Spider this whole bracket at Brown.
Yeah.
And now he's winning it as a black belt, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. So in the super fights, we have Shane Jamil Hill-Taylor defeating Junyoung Cho 11-2.
This is a fun match. We don't see Shane compete a ton in Nogi. And Akeen was just talking about he didn't remember the last time he'd seen him compete in Nogi. And his game looks really similar to his Gi game.
I was watching Instagram videos that he's posting. And it's during training matches. And he is just so fucking smooth.
Dude, his wrestling is better than I thought it was. He hits like a body lock takedown here that's beautiful. It's like, god damn, he's so fast, and he just grabs the body and just takes Jun Sung down.
Yeah,
it's really, really cool sequence at the beginning of the match.
He's a fucking mat ninja, man. Chain is fucking amazing.
Dude, just racks up a bunch of points, and just again, so dominant. And you can tell that Cho wants the heel hook the entire match, and Shane's like playing, and then he's doing a really good job the entire match of always clearing the knee line. Like, always clearing the knee line. And Cho keeps trying to bring his own leg above Shane's knee line to basically get leverage on the heel. And I don't think at any point was Shane ever deep in any sort of leg entanglement where his knee line wasn't already cleared. It was just amazing to watch every single entry. His knee was clear.
That's
his
good positional awareness.
His knee was clear. Yep. His knee was clear. It was repeatedly the entire match. Every time that Cho would throw something, Shane would just look at him, push the knee out, clear the knee, and then he'd go back to doing whatever he wanted to do in that position.
Smart move.
Really, really impressive performance from Shane. I hope we see, after this match, I hope we see him in Nogi more.
Yeah. No, he had a beautiful arm bar video that he posted on Instagram where he was training with someone and he got them to just for a split second put their arm onto the mat, and he does it almost looks like he's going for a star sweep where he just kind of hooks and then rolls over, but he hooks the arm, rolls over into an arm bar.
So he taught this arm bar at the seminar I took with him.
Oh, dude,
and it is
so beautiful.
I was the demo guy for the arm bar, and he did it. I was like, I think I know what armor he's going for. He did it. I was like, oh shit, that is really fat, really tight, really, really
fast. Yep.
Dude, it is, because he rolls through a really funny way. Yep. And it's, again, beautiful. Like, to feel him demonstrate that technique and how quick and how tight it got, like, when he's not throwing it. He's just demoing it. And you're like, oh god, this is a different kind of, it's a different kind of position to get the arm bar. It's just beautiful. So, yeah, really excited to see him compete again. Really excited to see him compete in Nogi again, because after watching this performance, like, the dude can compete at a high level in Nogi.
Hell yeah. So then in the next super fight, we have Fabricio Werdum and Lucas the Hulk Barbosa, which ended in a draw. There was a huge size discrepancy here.
Dude, Werdum be big as shit.
Yeah, he was way bigger
Hulk
than
Hulk.
Hulk
is also big as shit, yeah. But not Werdum big as shit.
Yeah, but Hulk definitely looked like the aggressor here. He was pushing Fabricio out of the mat a lot.
Yeah, but he does that.
Yeah, yeah, no, he just kind of like, yeah, he just gets really aggressive.
Because Werdum just got popped, didn't he? By Rusada?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's kind of what prompted him to do this. And I think we saw there's some videos of Werdum been posting with Yuri, been training with Yuri Samos. So he's back in the training jiu-jitsu, obviously. Like, I think hopefully we're going to see him on more of these. Because, again, he can compete at that level. He's a fucking world champion, ADCC champion. It was exciting to see him. It was just definitely a much slower pushing match.
Mm-hmm.
I had problems with my video for this, so I might have missed something huge to happen.
There's
but what I
lots
saw,
lots of slapping too. So.
Dude, yeah. What is it with like old school MMA guys love to slap guys in the face?
Yep,
and like they will do it until the ref goes, "Hey,
chill,
you can't do that."
Yeah,
and Werdum did it repeatedly, but Barbosa like never really complained. At least from what I saw, he just kind of kept dealing with it.
Yep,
kept going. So that match ended in a draw, and then we did something fun. We had the absolute finals. So we had Jonathan Alves, the winner of the under 76 kilogram division, taking on Kanan Duarte, the winner of the plus 76 kilogram division.
Yep, and Kanan Duarte wins 6-4 over Jonathan Alves.
Which, you know, bigger guy.
Exactly.
Gets it done. Again,
fucking
super exciting
big
event.
Guys.
I really I really hope that they post a new video. The whole event video is up, which is great, which is why we can cover it. But I want individual matches with the commentary again, so I can go back and watch. Like, I want to watch the Hulk match again. I want to watch the Shane match again. I want to watch, the plus 76 kilogram division, because that's where some of the matches really started to kind of get wonky with the stream, the video. So I hope they repost that again. Super good event. Super excited to see what Spider does next, as this was their final event, this was the finals of both brackets. So I assume they'll run another event. This event looked really successful. It looked like they had a lot of good guys there. I think I saw Ari Farias in the crowd. I'm excited. You excited, Emil?
Hell yeah. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Anything else to add with the event?
No, it's great. It's a good overall event. Just, as you said, hope to see the individual matches uploaded at some point.
So on to our recap of Fight to Win 92 in Denver, Colorado. This event paid at a total of $25,629 in salaries and commissions and was headlined by Isaiah Wright defeating Bill the Grill Cooper via split decision. Let's read to the black belt results, Emil.
Yeah. So we have Isaiah Wright defeating Bill the Cooper by split decision. And
Bill the Cooper via split decision?
Bill the Grill. Thank you. My turn to fuck up the names.
I got you, Emil. I got you back.
And that was
Fight of the Night for the black belts.
Stephen Hall defeating Adam Wheeler by split decision. Jeff Ake defeating Don Westman by outside heel hook.
And that was submission of the night for the black belts.
Foster Bailey defeating Gabe Booperthoy by split decision. We have Tim Galuzzi defeating Nick Marr via rear naked choke. Alvin Robinson defeating Phil Lights by split decision. Valor Caballero defeating Michael Kaplan by inside heel hook.
Under the brown belt results.
Dan Humke defeating Daniel Villeneuve by split decision.
And that was Fight of the Night for the brown belts, and he becomes the Masters brown belt welterweight gi champion.
Aaron Porter defeating Whit Barr by split decision. DC Hazen defeating Jay Shellhammer by decision. Paul Gummerson defeating Daniel Wenig by decision. Joe Millis defeating Kyle Crimson by head and arm choke. Brett Hernandez defeating Josh Huber by triangle. Eric Coe defeating Jason Reyes by knee bar.
That was submission of the night for the brown belts. I've trained with Eric before out in Colorado, so good to see him get submission of the night out here.
Sorry, that was Jalen Reyes. Casey Pratt defeating Lucas Wortman by choke.
On to the purple belt results.
We have Mo Black defeating Crystal Demopoulos by decision.
That is fight of the night for the purple belt. She retains her fight to win purple belt female no-gi title, flyweight title.
We have Austin Brinker defeating Kit Krupp by heel hook. Daniel Pacheres defeating Joe Fishburne by decision. Douglas Cuomo defeating Carlos Garcia via choke. Joshua Bearwolf defeating Louis Galt by choke. Carlos Espinoza defeating Corbin Nelson by decision. Ashley Lynn defeating Aaron Stoltzman by cross choke. Jake Hartner defeating Brian Brescia by armbar. Daniel Mark Calvert defeating LA Court by reverse triangle Americana.
And that was submission of the night for the purple belts.
Trevor Palmas defeating Derek Almer by knee bar. Eddie Cisneros defeating Michael Clark by decision. Dalton Desaltonoff defeating Alec Courtner by arm bar.
I think his last name is Sway. Dalton Sway.
Oh.
Defeats Alec Courtner.
Oh, my bad.
It's all good.
Oh, that's his middle name, the Sultan.
I think it's a nickname. I think he's got his nickname listed here in results, which kind of threw us off.
Sorry, the nickname, yeah.
And I'm not reading it, so I had an extra 10 seconds to look at it before you read
it.
I was like, there we go. I got your back, Emil.
Yeah,
and then not kind of not having your back at all kind of way.
Dalton the Sultan Sway. There you go. Carla Shellhammer defeating Tessa Neely by decision. Courtney King defeating Beth Huddleston by bow and arrow choke. Anya Mayadormo Garcia defeating Cassie Robb by decision. Devin Henry defeating Chris Messina by decision. Stevie Fletcher Nguyen defeating Josh Schumann by decision.
I think it's Stevie Fletcher Win.
Win. Yep,
yeah,
you're right.
You're right.
You're right. Britt Heaps defeating Bobby Ryan by decision. Dan Dykeman defeating Joe Connor via toe hold.
On to the teen results.
We have Emily Fernandez defeating Jaden Mueller by armbar.
And that was submission of the night for the teens.
Savannah Cosman defeating Saleh Previsic by armbar.
And that was fight of the night for the teens. So into the preview section of the show, we are going to preview Kasai Pro 4 to kick it off. This event looks like a lot of fun to me.
This is going to be fucking awesome. Like, Kasai has done such a good job at really putting together an awesome grappling event. I like their format. I like who they're inviting. Everything about it is fucking awesome. It's going to be great. So basically, they have a featherweight 145-pound eight-man tournament.
They've done this for 155 and 185 at this point. This is now the 145-pound tournament. Have they done it for 172?
I can't remember, but this is definitely to crown the champion for the featherweights. And basically, what they're going to do with the eight-man tournament is split it into two four-man brackets. And within each four-man bracket, they're going to have a round robin where each competitor fights each other, which is
similar to how Copa does it. Yep. Copa Podio does it like this as well.
I love it because it leaves all questions off, like, oh, what are the matchups? You know,
well, there's a couple organizations that do this. Yeah. Copa Podio, you just covered one a little bit ago. King of Mats does it like this as well,
mm-hmm.
where you have an A bracket and a B bracket, or a green bracket and a yellow bracket if you're Copa Podio. And so, yeah, it's exciting. It doesn't leave any questions to be asked about the first round. It's like, all right, this guy beat this guy, this guy beat this guy, this guy beat this guy by points or by sub. You get this many points, and then you move on to your finals.
You don't have any freak show kind of streaks where someone just, like, force comes their way into, you know, a position. So,
right.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. Let's go into the competitors real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the format. We have Gio Martinez. And we have Ethan Krellenston, who we've been talking a lot about, who definitely you want to check out. And I think he's going to be, he's a dark horse for this card.
You just won the trials, man. I don't even think we can call him. You called him a dark horse in the article.
Yes.
I don't think
the
we
article
really...
that doesn't isn't out anywhere.
Yep, but, my bad, Emil. I lost our website. I will fix that this week. I apologize.
Ethan,
so you're gonna have to edit that now.
Ethan is awesome. He's also, interestingly enough, he made the newspapers. The New York Post talked about one of his matches because he broke someone's arm. And there's a video out of, and I didn't click on it because this sounds gross as shit. But he has a sub locked on someone, and he just fucking snaps their arm. You can hear a pop.
And it crowd, made the New York Post?
The New York Post wrote an article about it, and the crowd, you can hear, evidently, is like, oh, you know, like, completely grossed out. So,
dude, but we were on commentary last week when the guy's knee was like, and we were like, oh. Yeah.
So Ethan Krellenston is going to be awesome. He's, again, out of TriStar and trains down at Henzo's a little bit. We have Bruno Frazzato, you know, old school IBJJF, perennial appearer.
Top contender.
Yeah. Paulo Miao, who was... I think, you know, he's the guy to beat in this particular bracket.
He has wins over a bunch of different guys in this bracket.
So he has, we'll read the bracket out, and then I'll talk a little bit about everyone's kind of mutual
accolades.
Exactly. But Paulo Miao, he's huge. You know, he has a 2015 IBJJF World Championship. His 2016 World Championship was taken away because he popped for performance-enhancing drugs, and they gave him a two-year suspension.
But you still kind of won it.
But he still
won.
I really want to
not bullshit with everyone. You got popped, but we still watched a win, and you still beat everyone else who just didn't get tested.
Exactly.
So,
you know,
I openly don't care about heads. I just don't, especially in grappling. I don't care.
Right.
You're not going to hurt a guy in grappling.
He, at one point, had two championships.
Two-time world champion, Paulo Miao.
Asterisk. But yeah.
Yeah.
We have to, as journalists, you know, talk about
that.
We're
not journalists. We are enthusiast press, Emil.
So his suspension was for 2 years, but he's been really... That's only with IBJJF-related events.
With any WADA-sanctioned organization. That's IBJJF. That's some UAE-JJF events.
Fortunately, there's a ton of international... Or fortunately for Paulo, anyway.
And for us.
There's a ton of international jiu-jitsu events.
They don't give a shit about WADA.
Mainly, in Paulo's case, he's really active in the Berkut.
ACBJJ.
ACBJJ. Has a bunch of tournament ones there. Johnny Gripo's in this bracket as well. Johnny is having a fire year. I mean, he's won PANS, which is a big deal.
Yep.
And in PANS, he had a win over Paulo Miao. We have John... Sorry, that wasn't PANS. That was Abu Dhabi Grand Slam LA. And we have John Callestine on this card as well, who's been pretty active. He won EBI 15.
We just saw him in the trials. We just saw pretty much most of these guys in the trials.
Yep.
About half of them.
Tanquinho Augusto Mendez is on this card as well.
We just covered him a little bit ago for Fight to Win versus Wagner Hosha, where Wagner Hosha was able to get a clench victory at the end.
That was just an awesome match. And then we have Ashley Williams as well on this card, Ashley being the youngest black belt in the UK. He's making waves over there.
I think he was just on Battle Grapple 3, by the way. We didn't get a chance to cover that event, but I think he was... either headlining that event or was on that event somewhere.
He's been in a few EBIs as well. He was on a Polaris as well.
Yeah, we've seen him on Polaris. We've seen him on Grapple Fest as well. Like, we see him on most of the UK events. He's one of the guys that pops up very, very frequently in that scene. And then we see him on other stuff as well. Again, all of these guys we've covered on the show and we've seen repeatedly in the last year compete on major events and win pretty large events. So let's talk about the group scoring here, Emil.
Yep. So we have, again, the round robins. There's each match is going to consist of 3 6-minute rounds, which is another kind of, there's no questions left. You know, if you can beat someone after 3 6-minute rounds, you've absolutely
really
beaten them.
Really similar to the ACB JJ format.
Yep. So basically, this is similar to SAGC as well, where a submission does not end the match. So in this case, a win by submission is 3 points, a win by points is 2 points, a draw is 1 point, and a loss is 0 points.
Right.
And these are effectively match points. And you accumulate these in the round robin, and within each four-man bracket, whoever has the most points at the end of that particular round of matches will proceed to the finals.
Yeah.
So the actual match scoring is going to be IGJF rules plus... Basically, they're going to have a 1 point for any deep submission
attempt.
So instead
of getting the ad for a deep submission, you get a point.
And they call that a near tap. You'll also get 1 point for a takedown if you don't get control. So if
you get the guy down, but you're like, you don't get anything off it.
Maybe they pop
down,
up.
Though. Yeah, you get a point.
There you also get a point if someone attempts a poor submission on you and you're able to sweep them. There's no advantages. All submissions are legal.
Yeah, this is a no-gi event as well.
So let's quickly talk about the super fights, too. We got Mateus Lutes versus PJ Barch.
Saw Lutes 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We got to talk to him live. So
Lutes
nice.
Is fucking monster. So he's, what, you said he got third place in IBJJF Worlds at Brown?
Worlds at Brown this last year,
yeah.
Yep.
He's,
so question, do we think Barch is in this still? Do you think Barch got injured? And
I don't know. Yeah, that's a very good question.
I haven't actually checked on Barch's status since the trials to see if he's still in after the injury, because he had to pull out because he was in the quarters. I'm like, you're not going to pull out of the quarters.
They didn't say
go on.
Injury in that. They just said forfeit. So, and he wasn't on the match. So it's probably, yeah.
I assume you make it that deep into a bracket of his size that Barch was in. Like, you did some sort of injury and you cannot continue.
And that was an explosive match that he pulled out after. So that was like a very wrestling heavy match.
I hope we see it. I hope we see him, because this is a fun ass matchup.
Yep.
And this is a headline super fight match. So I hope it's in here, but we will see in the coming days if that match is going to remain.
So the next super fight is Wagner Hosha versus Hanato Kanuto.
The rematch.
The rematch. This is going to be like, this match is going to be fire.
Dude, Wagner's going to slap him in the face again.
Yep.
I guarantee you.
This is going to be one of the most violent jiu-jitsu matches ever. It's gonna be fucking awesome. These guys are monsters. Hanato Kanuto had that insane sort of backflip pass that we saw
the last one that he was in at the 55 champion.
Yeah, it was so fucking
go back and watch their first match, because it was fun.
Yep.
It was in, again, if you're interested in this matchup, go back and see what had the first matchup, because it wasn't even last year, it was like a couple months ago they competed against each other. So go back and watch
that. I think this was supposed to be Edwin Najmi, and he had to pull out for whatever reason, and I'm so okay with that. This Edwin's awesome competitor, but I just love seeing these guys go at it. So
And now we got the headline, not the headline, like the one everyone,
the super
really...
super fight. We got Gordon Ryan versus Mateus Deniz.
I think the last time we saw Deniz was versus Craig Jones in Grapple Fest 2 over in the UK. So it'd be really interesting. Again, Nogi. I think these guys have been against each other before. I forget where.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Off the top of my head, I should know.
I think
that
we talked about it at one point. Or they had mutual competitors. I'll have to go.
I know they have mutual competitors. They have Craig Jones,
yeah,
at least.
Yep.
So, this is an exciting matchup. Again, I love watching Ryan compete, especially after his performance in Quintet and Nogi Pans, and pick your performance that Ryan has had. This is going to be an exciting matchup. I foresee him going hard for the sub here and finishing.
Hell yeah. I want to preview a little bit, go into detail about the featherweight bracket real quick. So Gio Martinez is obviously 10th Planet champion of, you know, he's been in a bunch of EBI and won EBI 10, I think.
I think he won.
It was 10 over Eddie Cummings, I think.
Yeah, it was a 45 bracket, right? Was it 35 or 45? I always mess this up. I think it's 45. I don't know why. I think it's the 45 bracket.
So Gio is incredible.
Quick question to you. Do we know what side of the bracket each one of these guys are on?
They haven't announced that
yet.
Okay,
so we'll find out later in this week. So we're not going to speculate too much on like certain matchups, but we're going to talk about mutual competitors here and like guys that competed against each other in the past.
So I went back and I looked at kind of what people's activity has been since 2017. Gio Martinez has one win over a fellow competitor. In this case, it's Ashley Williams. I think it was EBI 15. Gio is, he's been active, but he's been in the quintet.
And the subversive rule set.
Right. So he was instrumental in 10th Planet winning quintet 2. But Gio has not won anything individually since 2017. So we'll see sort of how he steps up to this really high level competition. Ethan Krellenston obviously making huge waves, winning ADCC trials this year. Also in 2017, won ADCC West Coast trials. So he is at this point, as you said, probably not even really a dark horse, but a really serious competitor here.
Yeah.
And a good contender. Bruno Frazzato has been mostly in super fights since 2017. He's fought in a bunch of fight to wins.
That's where we've seen him most frequently when we cover him, is usually on fight to win.
Yep.
I think they bring him around occasionally, so I've seen him a couple times in that time frame.
Yep.
But not a whole lot of like other major events.
That's right.
That we've covered him on.
He had I think since 2017 he had one tournament entry, and it was a first round knockout. So we'll see kind of
interesting.
You know, potentially whoever wins this could have, I think I counted it out to be 72 minutes of match time, because it's 3 6-minute rounds and it's a round robin. So whoever wins it is guaranteed 4 matches.
Right.
And then each match could potentially be 18 minutes.
Well, wait, unless you sub your guy, then you have less matches.
Yeah, or you still have the same number of matches.
You just
have fewer. You could cut down the 3 6-minute rounds.
Right.
If so you sub them in the first round.
You might only have to go one round versus, I think we misspoke at the beginning of this.
Right.
So yeah, if you sub your guy in the first round of your 3 rounds, you get your 3 points for submission victory, and then you don't have to fight him the additional rounds,
but
like ACBGA does it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you still have the 4 matches because you have your 3 guys from the round robin and then whoever.
And then your final.
Yep.
Yeah. So you got to go. You win for a long day.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day. So we'll see how Bruno deals with the tournament, since he hasn't had a full tournament in over 2 years. So we have Paulo Miau. Obviously, he's won a ton of ACBJJ tournaments, and he has mutual wins, or he has wins.
I want to say he's the champion for ACBJJ.
He was
the champion.
He's a champion for certainly. I can't remember where he won it. But it was since 2017, for sure.
I think ACBJJ 14 we saw him win.
So
14 or 13.
Since 2017, Paulo has a win over Johnny Gripo. He has 2 wins over Tanquinho, and he has a win over, I can't remember, I think it's Gio. So he has 4 wins over.
Well, they had that super fight. Yeah, so I think Paulo outpointed him.
Yes.
When they went against each other in 2016 or something like that.
Yeah. So I think those are the 4 wins.
I think it was like GT super fight or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super fight organization I haven't seen in a while.
So Johnny Gripo obviously has won PANS. He's won the World Pro. He's won a bunch of stuff since 2017. He's been really active. I'd say his tournament wins probably highest caliber since 2017 out of anyone here. Winning PANS, I think, is a big deal.
No, I'd agree. I'd agree with that assessment there.
And so he also, in the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam LA, had his first win over Paulo Miau. He beat him on a sweep, a 50-50 sweep.
Yep. And that's the first time he's beat him. Paulo's beat him before.
Yes.
And so this is the first time. So that was kind of a big, big turning point for Gripo.
Yep.
That potentially, okay, now you have a win over a guy you potentially can face at Kasai. That's a big deal. That's the first time he's been able to take that.
So he's definitely a strong contender. John Kallstein won EBI 15. He has a win over Zaref's decision over Johnny Gripo. It was a super fight. And he has a win over, I think it's Gio as well.
EBI.
Yep, EBI. From EBI. EBI 15. Yep. He has it was an escape time. It was an overtime victory.
Yep.
Tanquinho, he's been, obviously, we saw him at Fight to Win versus Wagner Hosha.
Yep, looks really good in that match.
Awesome. He's won something too recently, and I can't remember
We saw him versus Wagner. They had that really, really interesting 50-50 battle with the feet where it was actually entertaining and it wasn't just boring and stally.
It was the best 50-50 match I've seen, yeah, hands down. It was really, really good, and you see that Tanquinho, even though he's got an IBJJF World Championship at Black Belt, it's been a little while, but he is still a monster, and he's also really savvy with this new leg lock metagame.
Yeah, he's not a guy I'm not going to do that. He obviously spent time and paid attention to it and knows where he needs to be, and he's a world champion level black belt. They're going to have that. He has that.
Yep. And then we have Ashley Williams, who's been on, like I said, he's appeared in EBI a bunch of times, and he's been on some super fights major.
A lot of UK stuff.
Yep. And he's got Euro, Pan, Nogi, and I think European Pans.
Yeah, principally a Nogi guy.
Yeah. So yeah, really exciting. We'll see how that goes.
And in true Grappling Rewind fashion, the bracket will probably be posted 10 minutes into Tuesday morning after the show comes out. So it'll be we'll speculate, and then we'll know immediately who's going to go against who as soon as the show comes out.
Really good undercard, too.
I do dope undercard. So we have some interesting matches on the undercard. Let's talk about those now. We have Frank Rosenthal versus Carlos Rosada. Frank is apparently still in this match. We're not sure why he pulled out of ADCC North American Trials, but he's apparently still in this undercard matchup.
According to his Instagram, yeah.
So, again, hopefully it's Sunday night right now. This is Saturday, so it's 6 days from now. Hopefully he remains into that. I like seeing Frank compete, so hopefully that match is still on.
Yep. We got Tony Bergamo versus Silvio Duran. We have Juni Ocasio versus Rey De Leon.
So this is a funny-ass matchup because these two dudes literally just competed against each other yesterday, yep, as of this recording. Yep. And Juni got the victory here in, I think it was a points victory. He beat Rey De Leon by 5-2.
In the ADCC trials.
Yeah, so it's really funny that literally back-to-back weeks you have guys competing against each other in a completely different format, but both guys in the New York area, back-to-back weeks competing against each other.
So we'll see if Stingray gets to adapt there. We have Steve Keston versus Thiago Rela. We have Jesse Florentino versus Randy Nieves. We have Caio Basso versus Cameron Chaffee. We have Matthaus Anderson versus John Potts. Sean Yadamarco versus Josh Bodho. And finally, we have Timmy Halby versus Jefferson Guarasi.
So, super exciting undercard again. The undercard versus Kasai is always a lot of fun. Main card's always a lot of fun. Super fights are always a lot of fun. We love covering Kasai. It's a really great event. Tune in, watch it. I think it's on Flow. Yeah, it's on Flow Grappling. So, anything else you want to talk about for this event, Emil?
No, that's it.
Yeah, super fun 145-pound tournament. I'm curious to see what their next division they choose to do after the 145s, because they've gone through a lot of the main 45 up to 85 divisions. So it'll be interesting to see what division they choose to do next. So moving on to our preview of Subspectrum 6. This event also takes place on November 10th, 2018. Dudes, November 10th is a busy, busy day for us.
It is.
So this event looks a lot of fun. We like covering Subspectrum. It's an event in the Midwest here, and has some really, really fun names on it, and should be a great event. So we're going to start with this event, Emil.
So they have two tournaments. They have a middleweight tournament, a welterweight tournament, and then some featured matches. So in the middleweight tournament, we have Donald Marcelin. We have Adam Bradley. We have Isaiah Wright, who just competed on Fight to Win. Nick Spacek.
Yeah,
we
have Spaceman. He's a guy out of Chicago. We see him on Fight to Win a lot, and a really, really good brown belt competitor.
Kevin Williams, we have James Regina, Goran Reljic, Jason Luok.
So that's the middleweight tournament for Subspectrum. They also have a welterweight tournament on this event.
Pierre Oliver Leclerc.
Yeah, it is Leclerc. I think it's Leclerc. We saw Pierre, I think, on Kasai. I think he was the when Kasai was running their tournament for the qualifier, he was the guy that won the 170-pound or 185-pound qualifier for Kasai.
Hell yeah.
So he's a really, really good competitor. It's exciting to see him in this tournament.
Alexander Rajicic.
I think it's Rajicic.
Justin Fabek, Stefan Gladhill, Gerard Appenzeller. We have Vicetti McKeef, Sean Weisenberg, Sean French.
So that does it for the welterweight tournament for Subspectrum. We have three featured matches and then the main event match as well. The featured matches are going to look like
Phil Lumley versus Johnny Danicus. Tony Curry versus Andrew Bernock. Nate Fenton versus Anthony Pacek.
I think it's Pacek.
Pacek.
Anthony Pacek. We've seen Pacek. I want to say on Fight to Win, but I don't remember. I know we've seen pretty much all of these guys on other events as well.
And then the main event is Matt Leighton versus Philip Lights.
That is a fucking exciting match.
Hell yeah.
I love watching Matt Leighton compete. He's been on Subspectrum a couple times now, and so always puts on a really great performance. Super excited to see this great event. I think it's streaming on Facebook is usually where they do it, so definitely take a look at this event. It's a lot of fun. And Jordan Peitzman puts on a great event.
Yeah.
So on to our preview of Fight to Win 93 in Scottsdale, Arizona. This event takes place on November 9th and is main evented by a featherweight black belt masters title, Josh Rodriguez versus Osvaldo Cachinho Moisinho. Man, I can never get Cachinho's name right. Whenever I say his whole name, it always trips me up. On the co-main event, we have a brown belt middleweight gi title, Jake Watson versus Roberto Jimenez. I want to say Jake Watson is, he's either just gotten that title or this will be his first defense. But I think he just picked up this title, so it'll be exciting to see him try to defend this title.
Yeah, and I think we just saw Roberto Jimenez in the ADCC trials.
Yeah, both these guys, super active competitors.
And Jimenez, so. I think, he was in one of the recommended matches that I had for you guys. He's fucking awesome. It's going to be really, really
good.
This
should be a lot of fun. Yep. So after that, we have a super heavyweight black belt gi match.
Carlos Farias versus Corey Mullis.
We have a 210-pound black belt gi match.
Daniel Prebe versus Nicholas Gregorius.
We have a 210-pound black belt gi match.
Parker Lapp versus Mike Bertolacca.
200-pound no gi match.
Kyle Bame versus Daniel Hampton. I think Kyle Bame we saw on, I want to say it was finisher sub only.
I think that is correct. I don't know. I do know I called him Boheme.
Yes.
Until we heard about it.
That.
And I just read him as Boheme and I realized, oh, it's Bame. It's not Boheme.
Yep.
We have a 195-pound black belt no gi match.
Kevin Scott versus Wyatt Shepherd.
185-pound black belt gi match.
John Caby versus Mario Gasciola.
180-pound black belt gi match.
Matthew Gillette versus Rob Johnson.
We have a 170-pound black belt no gi match.
Joe Murphy versus Jay Pages.
170-pound black belt no gi match.
Ismat Abdul Muhammad versus Connor Waffle.
We have a 160-pound black belt gi match.
Daniel Radoff versus Suyan Kiroz.
Hard, isn't it, Emil?
Yes, it is.
150-pound black belt gi match.
Gabriel Revoredo versus Jeff Nolasco.
145-pound black belt gi match.
Gerson Ategu versus Cole Franson.
Man, I had the name. It's Gerson. I think it's Ategu.
Ategu.
I always butcher the last name. I knew it, and now I always mess it up after this.
Okay.
Again, a huge, huge card. Really good. We have a teen match. We have a bunch of purple belt matches, a bunch of brown belt matches. Really good card. This happens on November 9th, not November 10th like the rest of them. So go back. Go and watch this event. So that does it for this week's episode. Craziness with the trials, bunch of other stuff going on. Exciting. I got the week off, so I'm going to really enjoy going up tomorrow. Again, when this episode comes out, I've already done it. Going up to 10th Planet Bethlehem, train, watch the seminar, going to do the Black Belt CBD stuff. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, bring some of that 10th Planet knowledge back, man.
I'm going to talk to them and be like, hey, I'm going to bring a notebook and take notes and be like, hey, what's a ham sandwich?
Yep.
What's an Al Pacino?
Yep.
What's a this? And hopefully I can get some good information to come back next week. Like,
learn
what's up,
some
Emil?
Moves that I can't do because I have terrible flexibility.
Dude, I'm going to come back with like, all right, Emil, I'm still confused. I got to watch Mastering the System now, apparently. They told me, like, go watch Mastering the System. It's like, all right, I got to go do it now. So I'm excited for that. And then hopefully excited to get our website back up, get your article posted because it's really cool. Emil made a really cool graphic for this as well. Did you use like coding to do that? How'd you do that?
No, I went back and I eventually do want to get some quantitative coding to compare. You know, we talk a lot about levels of competitors and skills. And in some cases, you know, you have
we had like a 2-hour. So we drove up to SAGC a couple weeks ago and I spent like 4 or 5 hours in the car with Emil and then all day. And we talked about levels of guys.
Right. So you have these elite people that can place at these huge tournaments. They'll get, you know, third place, sometimes even second place, and we never see them crack the world championship level.
We never see them really on a frequent level ever beat or have a dominant performance over a top, or a guy we term as elite.
Right.
So you have, like, in my eyes, you have, like, regular competitors, like hobbyist competitors, like purple belt competitors, brown belt competitors. And then you have, like, your world stage competitors, like your competitive world champion level brown belts, your competitive even purple belts at that level. You have your, like, competitive black belts that are, like, all those guys that are in the mix at a really high level, and they can place at pretty much any open they decide to go to. They're going to be on the podium.
Then you have the elite guys, right? The people that can appear and medal at Worlds. But then there's a level even higher than that. I call them the outliers.
Yeah, and this
right?
is where you and I were disagreeing, and then I think eventually you brought me over to kind of your point of view here, like the outlier. So I was considering, like, those guys elite. Like, if a guy places top three at Worlds, he's elite. Guy places in ADCC, he's elite. And then you kind of gave me some additional information
right.
on how you looked at it. And so,
yeah, you have you know, the repeat winners that are just running it. Like
your dynasty guys.
Yeah,
like your Bushesha, Hodger, like guys
Hoffa Mendes, Guy Mendes, all those dudes.
Didn't just win one, didn't just win two, like, went on a streak and won a bunch of them and really went through almost all of their competition in their prime.
Right.
And didn't take a whole lot of losses to anyone that also wasn't, like, an outlier.
So I want to be able to show that graphically. So in this case, you know, Kasai Pro 4 is perfect. It's only an 8-man bracket, so I can go through and look at mutual wins and look at recent activity without having to use a code to generate it. And so all I did was, you know, I kind of ranked them based on recent tournament wins since 2017. And then I also indicated who had wins over the other competitors in that Kasai Pro 4 bracket.
Yeah,
so
it's a really, really cool graphic I want to post, because I saw Emil basically sent us a draft out to the whole team. And I was like, hey, what do you guys think about this? And I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, because basically you see the graphic and Newsflash Paulo's at the top of the graphic because, oh, he has big wins over a lot of these guys, and he has recent wins.
With Johnny pretty close. Like,
yeah, he's another guy's up there, and I think we may have to look at, you know, where Ethan sits here, but it's it was a really interesting description of, like, a visual description to look at, like, okay, this is the levels that you were talking about. Like, Paulo's really, really good, and his, like, repeat performances at the highest level where he's been able to come out on top really indicate why he's moving towards that, past that elite level and into the outlier level.
Right, right. He's kind of on the cusp of that. And
but he's still young. He's still young in his career, where it's like, usually guys, you know, like Gao Bao, like, you don't see guys go to that outlier level until, like, a little, they've really matured in their career. It's like you've had 4, 6, or 8 runs at a world title at black belt.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, yeah, you've won a black belt world championship multiple times over, like, a variety of different guys in a stacked division. Okay, you're an outlier at this point. So I think you really brought me towards your point of view. Like, you have elite black belts, and then you have your outlier black belts.
That's right.
So I was terming the outlier guys as the elite guys, but really, like, your elite guys are going to be placing at those big tournaments. Your outlier guys are consistently going to be winning them if they enter.
That's right. So anyway, yep, we will try to get that article out, and it'll either be on Reddit or our website, so keep an eye out for it.
I'm going to post that everywhere, man.
All right.
If you give me the article and let me post it everywhere, I'm going to push that thing everywhere, because I think it's really cool. I think the writing is really cool, and I think the graphic is just, like, icing on the cake to a really good actual, like, journalistic stuff that you've done.
Yeah, thanks.
So anything else you got going on this week, Emil?
That's it. It's been an awesome week. I love fall, man.
I hate fall. I fucking hate fall. It gets cold. Everything
I'm all
dies.
About it. Just sucks because my fucking house is, like, overrun by mice right now. So
ew,
I'm
really?
Like, oh, dude, it's so annoying. I've been putting traps out like crazy. So, and catching these dumb fuckers.
It was all coming because it's cold.
Yeah, exactly.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Ew.
It sucks. Right, that's what happens when you live in an old house. So good
I live
for
in
you.
Not an old house. That's a townhouse.
Right.
It's
hell
great.
Good for you, man. But yeah, it's good. Shit's good.
All right, so that does it for this week on the show. I've been Maine.
I've been Emil.
And we are the Grappling Rerun Podcast. KC on the mats. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google+.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.